Okay. Anyway, so that Lori, they asked us to talk about faith for the times we're living in. So that's going to be Minister Ann, faith for these times, which is the faith for all times, because there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, the devil doesn't have anything new, really. He has the same old thing, same old, same old. But we're going to be talking about victory and faith, overcoming faith. And it's an exciting time. I mean, God has us in the kingdom for such a time as this, not to be overwhelmed, but to overcome. And so this is what we're going to talk about tonight. And I'm first, and then Tim will go next. But I'm going to start off with 1 John chapter 5, if you have your Bibles or your phones or anything like that. Or I'll just read it to you. Okay. Whoever believes, 1 John 5, I'll start at verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. That's King Jamesy, so. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments aren't burdensome. His commandment is to walk in love, right? That's it, a new commandment I give you, to walk in love. You walk in love, you fulfill the whole law by walking in love, okay? And that's a whole nother subject, but anyway, so that's his commandments. They're not burdensome. I'm like, oh, it's not hard. His yoke's easy, his burden's light. Verse 4. This is the verse I'm focusing on. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Verse 5. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Because we're believing that Jesus is the Son of God, we overcome the world. And I like to say the world system, too. That the whole system, okay? There's a different system, right? There's two kingdoms. And right now, a lot of it's coming out. Antichrist, I call it, Antichrist system. But we're overcomers. He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God overcomes the world. This is the victory, our faith. Our faith is the victory over all this. All that we're seeing, faith overcomes it. Faith in God, faith in his word, faith that Jesus is the Son of God overcomes us. So now I'm going to go to 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children. And I'm talking about overcoming, right? That other verse said we overcome. Here it is again. You are of God, little children, and have, past tense, have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, you have to go up to verse 3. Who's them? It's the Antichrist. This is every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, okay? Which you have heard was coming and is now, it's already in the world. Okay, but we don't fear because right here. But verse 4, you're of God, little children. You've overcome them. Those Antichrist spirits. There's not, you know, the Antichrist in the book of Revelation, but there's Antichrist spirit, Antichrist king, things going on, right? So, but greater is he, right? We have overcome them. It says past tense. We've overcome them. Why? Because the one who, Jesus, lives in us, and he overcame. He defeated the devil. He said, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the devil. Okay, he already did it. We're here. We enforce the devil's defeat. We're more than conquerors. Jesus did the conquering, right? He conquered him, but we're the more than conquerors. He did the hard part. We get his name. We take his blood. We take his word, and we enforce the devil's defeat. We don't have to take. I'm not taking what you're dishing out. You don't have to take it. Okay, these things. And we're talking about what's going on in the world. You can obviously, there's a lot of Antichrist type things going on right now. And it's definitely, if you don't know, it is the end times. I mean, it's the last days. I like what, you know, Someone asked Gloria Copeland, "Are you think these are the last days?" Well, it's your last days. I mean, you only get one trip in this world, so I mean, it's your last days, right? Yeah. So I thought that was a good answer.
Yeah.
But you can see the signs of the times, right? We're not going to know the day. We're not supposed to try. That's right. Not our business. Right. But we'll recognize it, and we're called to overcome it. When you read in Revelations, talks to the churches, to the churches in Ephesus, Laodicea, all the different ones, Philadelphia, Jesus always says, to him who overcomes, I'll cause to sit with me, to him who overcomes, you know. So he's expecting us to overcome. And you think, well, how can I overcome? Well, by faith. This is the victory, faith. Faith. Just know that Jesus already overcame, and he's made you an overcomer, and he lives in you. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So I wanted to talk about words, about faith, and maybe this is, a lot of you know this, and it can be a review, but you know what, sometimes we let things slip, I do, and you just need to be reminded of it. So give the definition of faith from what the Lord says, not what religion says, or maybe someone else says, you know, I have faith. Well, a little more specific, I mean, you could have faith in what? Right? I mean, okay, so I'm going to go with definition of faith is in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, so here's the amplified version. It says, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we don't see. Faith is perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Okay, faith has nothing to do with feelings. And sometimes that can be hard for us because we're feelings. But that's, you know, we are a three-part being, spirit, soul, body. Faith is in the spirit. And so faith is not have to do with feelings. Feelings come and go. But we don't want to be up and down. You know, this world is up and down, and you want to stay steady and strong, and that's going to be through faith.
Right.
Faith in the Word of God. This is not revealed to the... This is what I say. I'm like, Lord, I don't care what it... This is my personal thing, but I don't care what it looks like, feels like, tastes like, sounds like, smells like. I believe your Word. That's the five physical senses, okay? So that when you speak those words, when you speak words of faith... Faith-filled words dominate. It'll dominate your emotions. It'll dominate your flesh. It'll subdue. You know, if you're getting kind of all emotional or feeling really anxious or a lot of fear coming in, and there is a lot of fear out there right now. I mean, it's there. I mean, you feel it. You like walk out there. It's like, rah. I'm go back in and shut the curtains. No, that's not faith. I said that. I'm like, just shut the curtains and come, Lord Jesus. Yeah. It's crazy out there. But anyway,
just keep the quarantine going.
But we're supposed to, you know, go out into all the world, right, and preach the gospel. And we're called to be bold and courageous. I mean, we got to shine as light. If ever the world needed the church to shine, it's now.
Yeah.
You know, if they ever needed someone that has faith in God, they're looking for it. Like, they're hoping what we believe is really true.
Right.
They've been kind of like, I don't know, those guys are a little crazy. But deep down, they're really hoping. I'm really hoping they're right. I really, you know, they really want to believe that God is real, even if they don't say so. But everyone has that God-shaped void, hole. And, you know, God gives you that God-shaped hole, what they call in your heart, that nothing satisfies it but the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And people go for money, you know, they'll try, you know, all those other things, fame, fortune, and then they end up, I know lots of people, wealthy, 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 on antidepressants. I'm like, well, there you go.
Right.
I'm like, really? You know, I mean, I know why, but they, you know, they makes it look like this is going to satisfy you, but it's not, because there's nothing can fill that void but the Lord. Am I kicking something? Okay, so now back on faith. But anyway, so I just wanted to make the point that the God kind of faith is not based on feelings or what any of your five physical senses. It comes from the Word of God. It's based on what the Lord said. And that's a sure thing, because heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word is forever.
Right?
I like to say, not without being mean, but all these, I call them, you know, they're talking. I call them they're trash talking. Yeah. They're all saying a lot of stuff, talking some big stuff. I'm like, well, you and your words are going to pass away, but God's word is forever. Yeah. So I'm sticking with God's word, and I'm clicking. But so always stay with the word of God, okay? And the word, the faith is in two places. It's in your heart and in your mouth. That's where a lot, sometimes people, they have faith in their heart, but you have to speak it out your mouth, okay? I'll go to Romans 10.
That's right.
Romans chapter 10, okay, verse 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks this way. So faith speaks. Notice faith has something to say. It's not silent. Faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, who will descend into the abyss to bring Christ up from the dead. So in other words, Jesus has done everything he's going to do, right? It is finished, okay? But what does it say in verse 8? But what does, this is the spirit of faith. What does faith say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, okay? So you, this is where faith is, in your heart and in your mouth. And you have to have it in both places. And you can't skip, some people want to skip. You got to take time to get it in your heart. Right, meditate it and get it in your heart and speak it out your mouth. And then we're going to go to Mark 11 because that's how you move mountains with the faith, with the God kind of faith. Mark 11. And, you know, I know people, and I'm just going to say this, they'll be like, oh, are you one of those faith, hyper faith, whatever, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, you know, whatever. They say that stuff. Well, I guess so. But these are Jesus's words, okay?
Right. Yeah.
And I love Brother Copeland, Brother Hagen. They're my spiritual. That's all I've known on my thing. But they didn't say Mark 11, 23, 24. Jesus did. And they'll say, tell you that themselves. Like, you just don't, this isn't us saying, this is Jesus. These are his words, okay? This is how the God kind of faith works. So some people kind of shut that off when you start saying that. Well, I don't believe that, whatever. But it's in the Word.
Right.
And another thing in Hebrews 4, 2, all the promises of God are for every believer, but they have to be mixed with faith. It says it won't profit you. Everybody heard the gospel, but it didn't profit some. Why? Because they didn't mix it with faith. Mm. Okay? They didn't. Everybody, the Word, all these promises are for everybody. Okay, and but you got to mix it with faith. Okay, that's what it's like having a cake mix, you know, or I got the brownie, the easy brownie mix, just add water one for a dollar. That one I like. But if you don't add the water, you just have a box of mix. So you're just going to have a book sitting out there, and if you don't add faith, it's not going to do anything, right? You have to mix it. You have to mix faith. That's why. They couldn't enter in, a lot of them, to the promised land because they of doubt and unbelief.
Wow.
It wasn't the giants that kept them out. It was doubt and unbelief.
Wow.
Okay? That's what kept them out. It was not the giants.
Wow.
Okay? Some of them, Joshua and Caleb, what did the Bible say? They had a different spirit. What did they have? A spirit of faith. They said, hey, these giants are bred for us. God said we could have it. So they had a different spirit. And faith pleases God. So that's another reason we want to walk by faith. It pleases God, and it makes us victorious over the world. And that's what God, the Lord doesn't have us here to be hiding in a bunker with beans and rice till he comes back. I'm just saying. Huh? Yeah. And I don't, could say what someone said. It was pretty funny. They're like, what if everyone's down in the, hiding out in this little hole with beans? That's not going to be good. Like, don't forget the Beano. I thought that was pretty funny. I'm like, yeah, that's true. We're not called to do that. I mean, really? I'm not running scared. First of all, I refuse to fear. If the devil can't get us, the only way he could get a hook in you is through fear, honestly. He's looking for someone he may devour, right? And how can he devour you? Through fear. And I'm like, you're not, I refuse to fear. I, you know, my knees may be knocking. I may have, you know, my hair standing up, you know, those feelings.
Yeah.
But see, faith isn't feelings. So you resist the devil. I refuse to fear. That thing leaves. You resist the devil, he has to flee. Okay? You resist all the fear they're putting out there right now. Oh, there's going to be recession. There's going to be power outages. All that stuff. I call trash talking. And I say, no, I'm not joining your recession. There's not going to be power outages. So you start speaking the word over things. We do not have to take all this stuff, okay? Actually, God wants us to be victorious, and then we show other people, and they're like, hey, look what God's doing in their life, right? We're supposed to glorify him, right? And it doesn't glorify him if we're hiding in a cave with everyone else. I mean, really? It's like, oh, you're a believer, and you're down here with me. Great. We're all going down. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, so now we're going to Mark 11. So this is something, and this is what started it for me. I was actually sitting in here a couple weeks ago during worship, and the Lord, he said to me, I want you to start speaking. You start speaking to the gas prices. You start speaking to those things, okay? And here it is in Mark 11. Speak. Faith speaks, right? That's what I said. Faith speaks. It's in your heart and your mouth. So we'll start Mark 11, verse 20. Watch my time for 10. In the morning, this is the lesson of the withered fig tree. Jesus is teaching his disciples, right? And we're disciples. He's teaching us. So now in the morning, I got to go back here. Verse 12, Mark 11, 12. Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, and Jesus answered, here's what it says in the King James, Jesus answered the fig tree, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. So he didn't just whisper. I mean, he said it, they heard it. But you notice it says he answered. That's kind of a different, he answered the fig tree. So that thing was talking to him. Like, it was saying, ha-ha, you're not getting any fruit from me. Like, your checkbook can talk to you. You know what I'm saying? Those gas prices, it's like talking to you. I'm not saying it's talking, right. But it's saying,
good analogy.
You see what I'm saying? It's talking. Yeah. He answered the fig tree. The fig tree's saying, you're not getting any fruit from me, right? Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus said, well, guess what? Now, no one's ever going to get fruit from you again forever. He spoke to that thing. So then back, and now in verse 20, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree, and it was dried up from the very roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered away. So here's Jesus' answer. Jesus answered, said to them, have faith in God. Okay, we're talking about faith. Have faith in God. And now he's going to explain what faith in God is. Verse 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will take place, he will have whatever he says. This works all the time. I don't care what the economy is. I don't care what they're saying. I really don't care. I only care what God... Faith works all the time, and faith-filled words dominate, and faith, God's word never pass away, okay? So then he says in verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So he's just telling the disciples, this is the God kind of faith. Have faith in God. The God kind of faith speaks. It has faith in its heart. He says here, if you have faith in your heart, but you believe those things you say, you'll have whatever you say. Remember I said it has to be in two places, faith, in Romans 10. It's in your heart and in your mouth. So I remember the Lord told Brother Hagin that my people aren't missing it in the area of believing, but they're missing it in the area of saying it and speaking it. Because faith is in your heart, but it's released through words. Okay, so you need to, I mean, I don't do it in front of like the whole world, but I'll tell you, I say, my cabinets, you're blessed and you're full. My closet, you're blessed, you're full. I'm a tither. I speak those things, okay? Because you're going to believe something. You're listening to something, right. And there's all kinds of words out there. Everything, people are speaking things. And those things, I do not let that hang over me. I don't want that being the final word over me. So I speak from my heart, my mouth. This is how it's going to be for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to have more than enough. There'll be no shortages. There'll be no power outages, just like Goshen. They had light in Goshen. So you get this word. This is how you're going to be victorious. Faith in your heart and in your mouth. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith that Jesus is the Son of God, and faith that his word is the final authority. Okay, and you got to take that. His word is final authority. That's a choice. Faith is also a choice. It's a choice. You can, I know there's been times of symptoms in my body, all these things, and they talk to you. Symptoms talk to you, you know,
right?
They, I mean, like I'm saying, these things, they talk to you. Oh, you got this pain. You might have this disease. Oh, you're getting old. Oh, you got a bad back. I don't know, just all these different things. And so it starts talking, and sometimes it just takes a while for me to catch on, but I start feeling myself going down with it. Like, oh, yeah, I am getting old. I'm feeling old. And I'm like, wait, no. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. My youth is renewed. And I could feel that lifting off of me, okay? Because you can have these promises. God gave us these because he wants us to live victorious. Jesus came that we might have life and life more abundantly. Abundant life. And even right now, in right now with all that's going on, this God's word still works. It works, and I don't care who's in office. I don't care what's going on. Everything's going up and down, the stock market, whatever. But God's word's like this. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I always go back to the word. I call it like I feel like everything's kind of swirling around me and all these things going on. I'm like, I got to like hook my faith into something. I need a scripture, and it's like an anchor, right? Because everything is kind of storming and blowing. I'm like, I got to hook my faith right here. Like 1 Peter 2:24, by your stripes, Lord, I was healed. That's it. I'm choosing to believe this. And just standing, having done all to stand, right? You stand on the word. Though God wants, he never planned for us to be defeated, to be overcome, to be, you know, hiding out. But the way is you have to have the faith overcomes the world, and it's got to, yes, speak it. And I've been speaking. I've been speaking to the gas prices when I go buy them.
That's good.
And guess what? It went down 10 cents.
Hallelujah.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Maybe people think, I'm like, in the natural, if Jesus didn't say, if this wasn't in red in Jesus, I'd be like, I don't know. But it's him. And so I just, you know, faith is obedience, and faith pleases God, because, I mean, if you say, Lord, I love you, but I don't believe a word you say, well, that ain't going to fly, right? I mean, I don't believe you, I don't trust you, but I love you. That just doesn't work. I mean, if Tim said that to me, I love you, Joanne, but I don't believe a word you say, I'd be like, you're in the doghouse. With Shirley. anyway, so this, I just wanted to, I know this can be basic, but I know sometimes I let these things slip. And also another thing about when you speak words of faith, and this was something that came up to me this afternoon. Okay, God gives us, he equips us, you know, to overcome. He gives us his word. He gives us his name. He gave us his blood. And then there's angels, right? We have ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. He was reminding me, don't forget your angels. Okay, there's more for us than against us. And here in Psalm 103, this is a good psalm. I won't read it from the beginning. You know, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me, all his benefits. But here, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Okay, the angels, when you speak the word of God, it activates those angels. If you speak fear, doubt, and unbelief, They can't do anything with that. They only answer to the word of God, okay? So when you speak words of faith, I mean, I'll take all the angels I can get in this crazy world, right? And they're there for for us, to help us. That's what they're here for. But they answer to words of faith. They excel to the word of God. They confirm the word of God. I call them covenant enforcing angels, because this is a covenant, right? This is a covenant, and every one of these promises are backed by the blood of Jesus. You can take these to the bank. and the angels enforce, I call them covenant enforcing angels, but they're released through words of faith. So if you're speaking fear, or if you're speaking in agreement with what the world's saying right now, the whole Antichrist agenda system, we're going down, recession, blah, 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 I'm not joining. I'm not joining. I mean, I speak to my TV. I'm not joining your recession. I'm a tither and I'm blessed. So, but you have to speak it.
That's true.
You do have to speak it, because somebody's words, you're going to be living under somebody's words. You are. You know, if someone verbally abused you, you know, those words just can hang over you all your life, you know. Those words can go right deep inside. So I don't want that stuff hanging over me, okay? Or over my household, you know. Sometimes you can tell in your household, the atmosphere or whatever. Yeah. I just like, get out. Open the front door and out, yeah, in Jesus' name, right? I know you can tell the devil to shut up. I always told my kids, you can't say shut up. That's not nice. But you can say shut up to the devil and get out.
Yeah.
I would suggest it. I mean, you don't sit there and listen to him. You know, like Eve in the garden, she should have just told the devil, shut up and get out of my garden. But she listened to him. So, I didn't mean to go around in circles. But overcoming, nobody can stop you from overcoming. There's no limit. You can get as much faith as you want. You build your faith. You grow in faith as you get in the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. So if you feel kind of like you're getting a little weak in your faith or shaky, get in the Word, listen to some good Word. You know, that's where faith comes from, okay? And so you're growing. We're all growing. But I can tell when I'm feeling like, or I can tell by the words coming out my mouth. I can locate. That just locates me every time when I'm just saying all this wrong stuff. I'm like, oh. And that song you sang, you know, take the coal, cleanse my lips. I was thinking that, Isaiah 6. I mean, he's in the throne room, and what's the first thing? Clean those lips, right? Take that coal and cleanse those lips. So I think God, life and death is in the power of our tongue. And so, you know, sometimes it feels like everyone else has all this control over us, or they're saying all these things, and we're just subject to all this stuff. But no, you're not. You have authority. You submit to God. Resist the devil, he will flee. So you submit to God. And so if some of these things they're saying don't line up with God, I'm not submitting to that, okay? You don't have to, okay? You don't have to be belligerent or anything like that, but you can know in yourself, I'm not going along with that. I'm not lining up with your words. I'm lining up with his words. How can two walk together unless they agree, right? You and the Lord come in agreement. His words is more powerful. And sometime, if you have time, read Psalm 37. That's an awesome psalm. It talks about don't fret when you see wicked men coming into power and it looks like they're just taking over, because they're like the grass. Mown there one day, gone the next, you know. It's very, talks about don't fret, don't fret, don't fret. Okay, when you see all these things happening, because I can't read it all now, but God sees their end. He says, God, their end is they're going to be cut down. They're there one day and gone the next. So them and, like I said, them and their words are going to pass, but God and his word is forever. Excuse me. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So keep your faith. You can just your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're feeling pressure and all this stuff, thank you, Jesus is Lord. I mean, sometimes you need to say something, say what you can in faith. It just pushes all that away, okay? It pushes fear away. It just pushes all that doubt away. But you can't, you know, if you have all those thoughts, you can't fight thoughts with thoughts. You fight thoughts with words. Excuse me. So if you're being bombarded with thoughts, you need to start saying something, because you can't, you ever try to fight a thought with a thought? But when you're having all these thoughts and you start speaking the word of God, your mind will stop to see what you're saying. Mm. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's a way for you to be victorious You can be victorious right now in the middle of all these things. I like Romans 8, to the whole chapter, but what Romans 8:31 says, what do we say? The Bible tells you what to say. What should we say to all these things, right? What is, it tells you what to say. If God be for me, who can be against me? I just say that all day. Sometimes I just say that. All this, God be for me, because he tells you. What do we say? The Bible tells you, say this. Say this. Say if God be for you, tells you what to say. And then one more thing, I'll be done. And then in Hebrews 13, this is one of my favorites too. Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So this is what God said, right? God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So then verse 6, so then we may boldly say, now we can, this is what we say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man may do to me. So it tells you, I got a tickle. Excuse me. So here he's saying, what do we say? The Lord is my helper. I won't fear what man may do to me. Okay, because why? Because God said right the verse before, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So I have nothing to fear. I like the Amplified. Excuse me. It's wordy, but it's really good if you hear it. Hebrews 13:5. And I'm stopping, I promise. Just last verse. In the Amplified, it says, thank you. I got a tickle. A hairball. No, I'm just kidding. Amplified, it's wordy. But if I'll read it if you have Amplified, or you can look it up. Hebrews 13:5. Let your character be free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have. For this part, for God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not forsake you, let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Wow. Oh, I love that. I will not. And so then verse 6, so we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Right? So, I mean, that. So it says, say this. So what I'm saying is the Lord tells you what to say. Say in all these things. Well, I'm more than a conqueror. So you have to say some things. There's a lot of talking. Like I said, talking. I call it trash talking, like Goliath. He was like talking trash to David. I'm going to do this. To the Israelites, they're all hiding and scared. And then David came out and said, no, this is what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to cut your head off in the end. And he had the final word, right? He won. So that's it. That would be my encouragement, to get faith in your heart and in your mouth and speak it out. You speak the blessing over your life. You speak the blessing. A blessing over your children, over your grandchildren, even over this nation. Everyone's like talking bad. No, I'm speaking blessings over America. I'm not going to curse. James says blessing and cursing shouldn't come out of your mouth. It ought not to be, you know. So I speak the blessing. And God will watch over his word and perform it. So I just want to encourage you that is the victory. Is faith, yes.
I got two things. So I always look back at with speaking, like God created the world into existence, just speaking. So I think that's how powerful it is to look at it that way. And then I want, because you brought up the resist, the devil and he'll flee. So I looked up the word and I like this definition, to exert force in opposition. So it's not just like, it's not like not a little thought. Yeah.
No.
It's like a force.
It's a bolt. Yeah, you speak it. Yeah.
I like that.
She wants to hear it again.
Actually, that's not to interrupt, but I was wondering what to do if, like, you're thinking you're resisting, but, like, it's not working. Is that actually something similar to that happened to me a few weeks ago? And I was like, I tried so hard to resist, but maybe that's what I didn't do.
To exert force in opposition, and then I'll read the next one. To exert oneself so as to counteract or defeat. He resisted temptation. To withstand the force or effect of material that resists heats. So that just went into material. But to counteract or defeat.
So how do you counteract or defeat, I think is the question.
Well, I could
speaking the truth and the word, right?
Yeah, yes. You have to have a. Do you stand? You this is what you do. Then you stand your ground. Okay, you said you resisted him and it didn't flee. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
It just got worse and worse, and then eventually I gave into it.
Okay, well, that the devil's going to test you to see what you're. He'll test you.
Yeah.
He tests your faith. The trying of your faith, okay? So he's going to test you to see, does she really mean this? And really, yeah. But you can, that's where you stay with the word. Say, no, it is written. Jesus, Jesus said, it is written. It is written. Just keep, it is written. I resist you. You have to flee. He don't have a choice, okay? He has to flee. But if you give up, yeah, well, no condemnation or nothing. You could just pick up where you left off and resist him. I mean, the word says he has to. That means that's he has to. And I don't think you did anything wrong, and he does. I've had that, too, where he, having done all to stand, I've had to just stand there, stand on that verse and resist it, and it seemed like whether it was symptoms in my body, it would try to come back and this or that or some temptation. And I just, you stand on, I resist you and you have to flee. I submit to God and I resist you and you have to flee. And I've had to stand. I'm sure others have experienced that. You have to stand. As you get stronger, he'll know you, it'll be quicker. But sometimes he's kind of testing you with your faith, testing your faith.
Yeah, and I agree with how you said, like, when the thoughts are coming in, like, speaking it out stops that. The processing. So if you're constantly speaking it, it is. You're not letting that thought keep staying there. It's like now you're thinking on the word.
Right.
Or finding a verse to go against it.
Yeah.
Or to be in agreement with. Yeah, as a key. I think that's a key. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. It is key because if you're thinking, let's say, if I said, think of a big black dog, and then you get an image in your mind of a big black dog, and now I say, if I say, well, count to 10 out loud, 1, 2, 3, 4, you'll notice you're not thinking of a big black dog anymore because now you're counting. Your brain has to see what you're doing. So that's a way to, if your mind's getting off or in other directions, to bring it back in. It's really important to speak and stand your ground. It's not always easy, but, you know, the Lord... there's a verse that says Jesus is a faithful high priest. He runs to our aid when we're being tempted. He'll give us grace. Yep. You get grace. You could go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm getting grace." The devil don't get no grace. He don't get nothing. You get as much grace as you need. And so go boldly to the throne room and get the grace. He says he's touched with our infirmities. He knows the temptations. And he will give you the strength and the grace to resist it. Okay, so I would go and get the grace from the Lord and also keep speaking and standing, you know, standing on the word. And you're like building faith muscles. It's like you're building muscles. Every time you resist, you know, like resistance training, not that I'm really the exercise guy, but there's resistance, right? You're resisting and you're building your faith muscles. So keep standing because you have the victory over it. And if you need more grace, go get it. You get as much grace as you need. Go to the throne room and get grace to help in time of need. That's what I do. I need more grace.
And Look. Fasting has helped me.
Yes.
Like, I fall in and it's like, what's my problem? And it's like, okay, I got to fast from everything. And it has really helped me overcome things. Because that's a real huge
It is a big tool.
To fast. Oh my gosh. It's like
that's
a whole
true.
Different world. And if you practice and get, you know, that he gives you the grace to do that, and it's like, oh, I can do it. It's like, so you work through the time that you're like starving, and you're like, no, I will live. You know, it's like this game. It's like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Right.
You start doing
you speak
the word.
That.
It's like, oh, and then all of a sudden you're over it. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. I'm through it. Mm-hmm. But it does. It's like this little resistance you got to.
Putting God first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm giving this up because it's more important to. More important than that thing.
And one more thing I thought of with the resisting and have you ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth?
Yeah.
He told the story. There was a and he talks about resisting the devil, but there was a lady. He was getting on a bus, and there was a lady getting on the bus with him, and her little puppy followed her to the bus station, and she's like, "Oh, go back home, little puppy. And the puppy wouldn't go, and the puppy wouldn't go. Finally, she said, get! And he ran home, and he said, that's what you got to do to the devil. That's what you got to be, you know what I mean? Yeah. We're not, like, I'm not playing games. Now, get, okay?
Yeah.
So that's what you said, like, it's a firm resistance.
Yeah.
You say, get. Mm-hmm. Get in Jesus' name. And he has to flee and ask for more grace. The Lord will help you. You don't have to, you know, he's not off somewhere else when we're being tempted. He's a very present help in time of trouble. And he says he's a faithful high priest, and he'll help you, and he'll give you the grace to do it.
That, also, I would say also,
God's not going to give up on you.
Yeah,
that's right.
I was just going to say, it's just giving yourself the grace to make mistakes too, like realizing not to use it as an excuse for it, but like we're flesh and we make mistakes. And like I just made one yesterday.
I can't take it. Oh my gosh. I'm shocked. We all had the same response.
It was my first one I've ever made.
Oh, now we need to cast that lion devil out. Oh, just kidding.
No, yesterday I had like the worst day, and I was at work. I'm a manager at a golf course. It's just one of those days where it's like, I always had like other employees coming up and be like, Ryan, hey Ryan. And I was just like, what? I didn't say that. I didn't do that. But that's what I was thinking internally. And then like, finally, I was just like, this is the worst day ever. Like, this is the worst day ever. And I even said that out loud. And that's actually like, that's faith. Right. That's
Now you're, exactly. You're drawing that to.
I'm putting the bad thing into motion.
Exactly.
And,
faith in getting.
And so then it did get worse. And
you got what you said.
The hose broke. And I was there until like 10 o'clock. And I was so then on the way home, I was like, you know what? I never even really checked in with you today. You know? And
yeah.
So then you just, you know, you're just like, Lord, forgive me. And, you know, give me, you know, the grace tomorrow to, you know, to walk the right way.
We didn't do that.
At least I didn't do that.
Right. That was the first time and all.
It was. You know, I think it was
well, I'm glad I didn't share my mistake.
I won't share my mistake, but yesterday I did. And like I said to Tim, I repent. I said, I need to repent to my husband. And I said, but I still got, because it's 70 times 7, you got to forgive. I said, that's 490 in one day. I still got 389 to go. I'm doing good.
But I think a lot of people.
I only had one thing.
A lot of people make a mistake, no matter how bad it is. And, you know, that puts, like, they put a block or a wedge between them and God. They feel separated.
Right.
That's like, that's the worst thing you could do, because God's already forgiven everything.
Right.
No matter how many times you make that mistake, it's like, you can always go back to the throne room of grace and mercy.
We die every day.
I guess that was my point.
Claire, here I am. Claire,
no, that's so true, because in the past I would make a mistake and feel so bad about myself, and I'm like, well, I'm a failure, I might as well just keep making, and then I feel so bad, so then I keep doing these self-defeating things.
Right.
And you're speaking it.
And I'm like, I am a failure.
A
I'm never going to beat this, you know?
Yep,
that is the devil's trap. He's like, well, you already done this. You might as well just go
for it. Yeah, might as well do it all summer. It's like, no, really. And I'm like, well, maybe, you know, and then I start like conversing with him almost. Well,
just on the show.
That's what I need to do. Like, now.
Shut up.
Stop playing in his playground.
Okay. That was a great message. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Lord. There's my better half right there.
Yeah, I'm the king of that. I think.
Hang on.
I'll just tell you, maybe it'll help you, but I accepted Jesus, you know, and I was in a bunch of stuff, and I couldn't get out of it. I wasn't going to church, but I know Jesus was there, right? I said, Jesus, just leave me alone. Just go.
Wow.
You can take the letter of the word in Hebrews 6 and say, well, you're done. But I wasn't done. He knew I was just young. He knows where you're at. He is so loving and kind. He got me out of it finally. But I did say that. I said that to him. He knew I wasn't serious, you know, because I was frustrated with myself. You know, I can't do it. I can't do what you want me to do. So just leave me alone, you know. Yeah. I mean, but he's really kind. So he's good. He's really good. He's better than we can say, right?
Right.
So I appreciate my wife. Yeah, that was good, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she was praying this, I'm going to brag on her a little bit, but she was praying just the last couple of weeks. She's praying for Supreme Court justices, right? And, you know, they're having pressure on them because this abortion deal, it's going to come out here any day now. But they're going to their houses, you know, and trying to intimidate them. And, but so Joanne was praying. She prayed for Kavanaugh. But this, she prayed 2 days before it came out in the news. So the gunman, he had his gun. He called 911 on himself.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. But my point is she was out ahead of... she was out ahead of it because she was praying it out. And then she prayed for Amy Comey Barrett. Mm-hmm. They went to her house, too, which this is all illegal.
Right.
They're... I mean, they're supposed to be protecting those judges, you know. Whatever they decide, that's... But, and she prayed that out, too, and then it came out on the news. She had a dream the other day of a politician. I don't know, he came to our door in her dream, right? He handed her this great big... I don't know, big thing of whatever it was, you know, something would be alcohol in it. We don't drink alcohol. We don't have alcohol in our house, but she respected him. Okay, I'll take this, right? And then so she's talking to him or somebody's talking to him. I wasn't sure about the dream, but he's already a Christian, we know, but she saw the little book, Why Tongues. So he was reading through it. I may say this wrong, but then she saw him out in the yard, out in our yard with his hands up, and he was crying. So some good things ahead of time. She's telling, God's telling her, you know. So I appreciate her. So we kind of.
So it was alcohol in the big container.
Well, this guy's like a baby Christian.
This is in your dream.
Yeah, like he came to my house. You know how you bring a gift to someone and they come there. I wasn't sure. It looked like it could be champagne. It was like a clear liquid.
Could be kombucha.
It could have been. I don't know. But it was like he brought a gift to me, and I remember thinking, well, I don't drink or anything, but I'll just, okay, thank you, and put it over here. Right?
But he brought a gift. It was a gift.
Out of respect. Yeah. For
when you go to someone's house, you bring them a gift.
Okay.
But he was sitting in the chair and gave him that book by Brother Hagin, Why Tongues.
Oh.
It's a little mini book.
Okay.
And he started to read it, and the look on his face. It's a person that's running for office here in Wisconsin.
Oh.
But the look on his face, and then he got up, went out in the front yard, and I have to look up out there, and his hands were raised, and he was like wiping his eyes. And to me, it was like he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. That was my thing. Like he was inquiring. He wanted to know about tongues.
So did you intercede then, maybe more from that dream?
Yeah, and then for him to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, we agreed to in Jesus' name.
So we started a business, not really, but we called G&G Camp.
It's
Grandma-Grandpa Camp.
Grandma-Grandpa Camp.
But I wanted to tell you the story, and then the Lord gave me a scripture with it, but little granddaughter, she's 5 years old, but she had she was operated on. She couldn't breathe. She wasn't sleeping. She was going to school with, she's got plaque under her eyes, you know, and the teacher's complaining, you know, so, what's wrong with your daughter? She's not sleeping, right? Because she couldn't breathe right. She couldn't breathe right. So so now that she had operations, she's fixed and everything like that. But bless her heart, right? But we're babysitting with her, and they the first day she says, well, Grandpa, you're grumpy. I thought, oh, okay, well, you know, a child will lead them, right? That's one of the verses in the Bible.
What's the verse,
Tim? Yeah. A little yeah. child will lead them. Yeah. But, so I'm looking in my heart, right? So the next day we go goofy golfing and stuff, and she's sitting there. You know, you're in the way. The ball's got to come there. You have to move. Grandpa, you're grumpy today. And I finally got it, you know. Wait a minute. This isn't right. You know, she's speaking things over me, right? But anyway. So the verse that I got with it was... we have to learn, it's in Hebrews 5, right at the end of the chapter, but we have to learn to discern good and evil. God works with us as we grow, right? And we learn what's right and what's wrong. Sometimes it catches us off guard, you know. Sometimes it takes us a while to catch on, but we grow. That's maturity, learning good and evil. Faith is a living contact with God. It's a relationship. So you can hear the word, but you gotta weigh it. You gotta, you know, what is God telling me? How does that word that I just heard match with whatever else I know or whatever else is in the Bible? You have to use the whole thing. You have to use the whole nine yards. You know, you just the devil knows the Bible better than we do. So, like that verse that I heard, well, a little child shall lead him. Well, that was not God. That was not God. So I'm hearing the wrong thing. But eventually I got it. Matthew 4:4, Jesus was, he was fasting, right? And the devil comes and he says, well, make these stones into bread. And Jesus says, man will live by every word of God. Man will live by every word of God only. So what that means, that doesn't mean just the Bible, the written Bible, or anything in your memory. Mental assent is different from revelation knowledge. So you gotta weigh it, you gotta work with it. But it's the rhema word. It's the word that God has spoken to your heart is what's going to get you over. That's what you're going to get you over. You stand on that. That's God speaking to you. And he'll back it up. If you'll back it up, he'll back it up. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is alive and powerful, so there's something other than just a scripture. It's alive. It's alive. You can tell. There's different levels of revelation. But you got to learn you got to just learn to discern, kind of juggle it, be a juggler. Well, you know, what is God saying? How does it apply to what he said yesterday or last week? You know, does it match? Does it fit in? I wanted to talk a little about anxiety. If you look in Mark 4, that's the sower sows the word. That's a parable that Jesus said, well, that's the first one you need to know. So if you look down in there, what I want to point out is the anxiety, the cares of the word. God can speak to you, but the cares of this world will choke it out. It'll cause it to not grow. There's a lot of anxiety out there now. And you can understand why. There's a lot of fear and anxiety, and that's what chokes the word out of our life. God can speak to us, and we'll just let it go. If those cares come in and choke it, so I got written down here. We must know God's motives before we can totally trust him. We got to know his motives. What are you? Where are you going with this, God? You know, we're just people. We got to know. He's not asking us to just blindly obey things, you know. A thought in my mind, go obey, you know. Well, that might happen, but he doesn't mind when we say, well, why? You know, explain it to me. He's kind. It isn't just a thought in your mind. It's more than that. It's like invisible. If you read Romans 1, you can find out what's going on in the world. Their hearts are hard and so on and so forth. Okay, another thing, Matthew 24, 6 and 7, it talks about there'll be earthquakes and earthquakes in places and famines in places, right? We've all read that. And whatever goes with it, I mean, I can read it, but there's more in there. But my point is, the Lord spoke to me, you know, a few weeks ago, and I'm just telling you because I think this will help. But he said, he gave me the phrase, in various places. The famines, they're saying there are going to be food shortages. But the famines, he told me, in various places. You may see some in various places. So he's shrinking it down. He's shrinking the fear down, the fear element of that verse. He's saying in various places. So he's not saying it's going to be everywhere, so we don't go nuts, you know. So maybe it can help me here, but faith laughs. I don't know, you can think about maybe something that's bothering you or something that's really, you know, a couple things or whatever. So then when she says speak the word, that you can do, but you can say ha ha, you know, and you're, yeah, you can say ha ha, maybe it can help me. Ha, think of something. Ha, ha, good. Ha, ha. We do that, you know, my wife and I do that to each other. Ha, ha, you know. It's just something you do. And eventually, sometimes that, you know, you start laughing and you can't stop, you know. You start crying. But you start out, you do it by faith. You laugh. Faith laughs, because God is God is bigger than any all this. What is it that little child sings? Go ahead.
So you don't, sorry, Ben, I got excited. You don't want the TV to prophesy to you, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. That's what we're saying. But the little kid's song, God is bigger than the boogeyman, right? He's bigger than the monster on TV, right?
Right.
But really, they were just children, right? So then I wanted to mention sowing and famine. If you're whatever you're giving, don't stop giving. Well, these prices are rising. Well, your giving is bringing God. God's a giver, so it's bringing God into your life. You're giving. He's a giver. He gave us everything. But don't shrink back on your giving.
Where's your faith? You do.
Yeah. Here's a good one. I've been thinking about this for a couple of years. I heard somebody else say it, but we can learn from other people, right? We can learn. It doesn't. We don't have to get everything from God. We can get it from someone else. They got it from God, right? So we get over ourselves that way. If we listen to other people, this is the power to keep calm, and if you can grab hold of this, this is great. And in Acts 1:8, he said, "Stay here till you get till the power from on high." Right? If you look at Psalm 94, verse 13, this is in the Amplified Bible, so you have to look here if you want to read it exactly what, but he says that you may give him power to keep himself calm. So he gives us power to keep calm. I noticed a week or so ago, I do the bills and stuff like that, and I got it pretty organized, and but all of a sudden your mind is filled with something, something that this ain't right, it's a wrong thought or wrong mindset. It was just for a moment, but I just resisted it. It was just something that was there, trying to get me upset, right? But it was nothing. It was a lie. But it comes with feelings and so on and so forth. But he gives us the power. He gives us the power, and he will give us the power. If you just stay calm, try to stay calm. Mary's got a shirt that says stay calm, ride horses, something like that. But that's where it's at. Stay calm. Don't just wait. Just don't make decisions when you're upset. Just wait till you get calm, and then a good decision can be made. Okay. This will be around my last point, I think. You ever hear the phrase, a cow at a new gate? He doesn't want to go through it. So I think maybe that's the way you're going to feel after I tell you what I got going to tell you. Okay? But I believe it'll bless you. I'm led to tell you. I used to go to a church, and they talked about the Left Behind series. Right? Anybody heard about that? They said, "Well, you should." I want my people to watch that every week, the Left Behind series. And they went so far to say 2/3 of the body of Christ isn't going to make it. So, I mean, there's a song. I don't. You've probably heard it. It's like a country rock song, but I think it's Leonard Skinner, but... Huh?
That's not country rock. That's great, though. Okay, I'm sorry. You're cute. I love it.
He says, but the song says, give me three steps. He's the guy's got a gun and he's going to shoot him, right? And he says, give me three steps. I like that little phrase, you know, but that's what I said about this church thing. I love those people. They've treated me very good. But I said, give me three steps because I don't want this. This is baloney. I'm not living under this fear I'm not living under this fear.
Yeah.
So, like I say, give me three steps.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And you will never see me no more. Right? So, anyway, he was talking about something else, but I'm changing it. So anyway, that's a big deal. We laugh about it, but it's a big deal. I mean, the church world is full of that, where it's fear. And I'm just trying to lift this off of us, you know. So here's the part you're going to have to think about. But Revelation 6:8, it says that power was given over to him over a fourth of the world. Over a fourth of the world. My point is the Antichrist will never accomplish a one world order. He will never do it. It's right there in the Word.
Yeah.
He will never do it. Mm-hmm. Revelation 13:7, and it said it was given power to him to war against the saints, right? This is Antichrist stuff. So this is where we at. But it was given in power, but by who? God didn't give him any power. It's the same concept as God. Did God make me sick? No. God loves me. He's not making me sick. He heals me, right? Did God make me poor? Did God make me have not enough money for my bills? It's the same concept. So my point is that's his assignment. But his assignment isn't from God, and he fails. He fails. He's only given part, only Europe. Africa, they won't accept him. Israel won't accept him. Even the Muslims won't accept an Antichrist system. And Europe is where he's going to thrive, and he'll fail there. So I'm just trying to lift this off of us. You may have to think about this. Maybe you don't believe me, but that's what I believe. So I'm just trying to help you and trying to help just lift the fear off of you, because God didn't send the Antichrist. He's not working with him, you know. He's not his buddy. So hope that helps you, and God bless you.
I was really hoping Tim would start rapping that VeggieTales song. I was waiting. Not singing it, rapping it.
See, she's singing it. That's bigger than the boogeyman.
Good. So.
Okay, Ryan, wind this down.
First of all, thank you. I apologize. I did realize as they were talking, I need to ask for forgiveness because I actually have made 3 mistakes in my life.
Oh! 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 So. You're out, Ryan.
Oh!
One I gave. The other one, Tim was talking about staying calm before you, like, respond. I was thinking I did that the other day, too, where I was like, you ever get an email, you know, and it's just, it's an angry email at you,
yeah.
or someone talks to you real angry.
Yeah.
And like, I hit the reply button, like, oh yeah, well, you know, I just, you try to, I'm like, all right, wait, delete. I just delete, select all, delete. And so it's so true. Just to, the rule is always wait one day and then respond the next day, right? So I did that. And then the other one.
Wow, he's confessing. Where's
Rachel? Sorry, but I feel like I'm supposed to share. So the last one, I'll try to make it quick, was Joanne was talking about just being prepared in season and being ready in season and being the light in the season. And so some of you have heard this story before. So Rachel and I were going to a rodeo in Milwaukee. And
we were off the rodeo,
which all of a sudden that's become a favorite thing of ours. We love going to rodeos. I've been to like three, I think. So anyway,
yeehaw.
So we were going to the rodeo. So we stopped. So we went to Milwaukee for this rodeo. It was at the Pfizer. And we decided to eat beforehand, and we went to the Panera. Anyway, I'm getting too many details. We went out to eat, and there was a guy that came in, a big black guy came into the Panera. And actually, he stopped Rachel outside. I went inside, and he had stopped Rachel outside asking for money. And he was like, do you have, I think he asked for like 10 bucks. He's like, do you have $10, you know, that you can spare? And Rachel, she felt really uncomfortable, and she was just like, no, we didn't, you know, we don't. Then we both went inside, and then we started eating, even though we didn't have money, started eating, and he came in, and I'm like, oh. So then he came by our table, he's like, here's my papers, you know, I just got out of jail, and here's all my paperwork,
wow.
and this, and this, and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, do you have, please, do you have $10? I was like, I'm really sorry, sir. All I have, I could buy you some dinner, but all I have is I don't carry cash, so all I have is my card, which was actually a lie. Oh, sorry, four mistakes.
Oh,
it was actually a lie because I had cash. I had cash in my pocket, but anyway. So, you know, my first reaction was like, first of all, I've never had anybody come up and do this to me in Milwaukee. I've been to Milwaukee a lot of times, all right? So, my first reaction was like, okay, this guy's probably just does this every day and is like asking, you know, for money or whatever. So, but he came up to my table and, you know, the paperwork saying, you know, but my thing is, I never even checked in like, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? Do I do this? Do I do this? And so it's important to be ready in season for that. And so I blew it and, I went home, you know, we both went home. And we went to the rodeo after that. And on our way to the rodeo, we were like, you know what? I think we're supposed to give that guy some cash. And the Lord told me later that was actually a test.
Yep.
It was actually it was an angel.
Yeah. Yes.
So
yes, I was getting that.
It was. And
I've never seen him come through a table yet.
Which it's just something I believe. There's a lot more angels than what you think there are.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
So we're just like, so we could have responded in like, oh, we blew it. You know, like we were talking about before. But, you know, so we're talking with Lori, and she's like, you know, you blew it. It happened. It's just like, Lord, help me next time.
Yeah.
I said, give me another chance. Mm-hmm. Give us another chance. And, you know, we will not blow it the next time. We promise. And, you know, so not even, was it like 1 week later? We go to Milwaukee. Again, I've never been asked this question going to Milwaukee. 1 week later, Rachel and I go out for our anniversary. We go to the, where do we go? Cheesecake Factory.
Good choice.
Yeah, right? The Cheesecake Factory is awesome. So we go to Cheesecake Factory. We eat our cheesecake. Going back to our truck.
What'd you have?
I had that, some pasta dish. It's really good. And it was... But I had the cheese. Well, I had a full meal. So we had the appetizer, the dinner, and then I had the Snickers cheesecake.
Oh, the Snickers!
It's my favorite one. Oh, it's really good. She had the. Don't tell her I forgot.
No.
So, I don't remember. So anyway, so we're on our way to our car, have our cheesecake. Long story short, we get to our truck. Guy comes up to our truck. He's like, guys, you have a couple minutes. I just got in an accident, and I just need like $20 to get home. He lived in Chicago. And right away, I was like, it's like ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, that happening in yeah. twice in 1 week. Yeah. So then we did give it to him, and we blessed him, and we prayed yeah. for him.
Did you check in first?
We checked in. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Mary. Yeah. First, you know, you're like, okay, Holy Spirit, make sure, because, yeah. you know, the devil can set you up too. But, right. But and then we prayed over him and blessed him, and you know, he went on his way. But I just say that. I don't know why I said that, but I guess it's just an encouragement for, kind of goes along with what Joanne was talking about, being ready in season. So, yeah. So that's all.
Well, it's kind of neat in a way, because, you know, it was an angel. So I was about to say a prayer for the fellow, and then I remembered, oh, yeah, it's an angel.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of relief off of you. And that's,
yeah.
you know, like, okay, thanks, God.
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about this poor guy.
Absolutely. And you know what? Even if it was someone, you could just say, Lord, bless that man. And, you know,
and that's what
use someone to, yeah, mm-hmm. so.
Double blessing.
Well, wait, yeah. can I ask a question?
No, I'm sorry. I only take one question every day.
Because I recently had this similar thing happen, but like a little bit different of a scenario. But two different women asked me for like money, basically. And I like did not help either one of them. So now I'm like, well, how do I know if I like made a mistake by not helping them? Maybe I was being selfish. But, like, I've been screwed over in the past by people that I've helped, too, because yeah. I do have a big heart, and I have helped people, and then yeah. I've gotten robbed before and stuff like that. So, like, I just didn't help either one of them, and, like, they said they just needed help, and I was like, sorry.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. How do you know?
So, I'll ask your guys' thoughts on that. But for me, I see, like, I think a lot of it comes down to relationship, because what I'm definitely not saying with this story is, like, just give to everybody who asks for money. Right, like you don't want to just like you, when you give, that's a seed, right? And you can seed into corrupt ground, and you can seed into ground that's gonna bless, and it's gonna bless back to you. So for me, how I would answer that is, I think it's really important to have like a really good relationship with the Holy Spirit, be able to hear. You know, the Lord says that, you know, my sheep hear my voice. So for me, like I tend to hear in pictures, and so when I check in, I say, Lord, you know, is this something you want to do? I often see like a green light or
yes!
a red light,
yeah!
something like that.
Yep.
Or it might be just a gut, like an intuition or something that the Lord places in your gut. Like, no, I'm really not supposed to give to this place, or I am supposed to give to this place. So that's for me, how I kind of look at that. I don't know if anybody
else. I listen to like the person talking, but I check out and saying, are they telling the truth, Lord? Like, mm-hmm. show me if this is one I give to. Mm-hmm. Because I still question, like, and then one time, I do believe this lady was scamming me. But we were on
yeah.
a trip.
I've been scammed,
like,
on a trip.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like,
and I'm watching, and the Lord's like, it's okay, because I'm going to deal with her on this. I'm like, oh, okay. yeah. So I had to give her the money, even though she was scamming me, because the Lord wanted to deal with her with the scam. I'm like, oh, interesting turn of events here, Lord.
Yeah,
so, yeah, but it was interesting.
Yeah.
So I had to be obedient, even
right.
though I didn't want to give it to her, because
yeah.
I knew she was scamming me.
Yep.
Wow.
But I did give them food. That was the one thing. I'm like, that's fine. I don't care about the food. But she's like, well, I'm diabetic, and I need my... I'm like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
what I kind of had. That I had that feeling, but then hearing that story, I'm like, well, wait.
Is
this a test? You know, like,
yep.
Did I blow it?
Yeah, no, I think the point, you know, is just
checking in
yeah. and, you know, first of all, checking in and listening is one of the hardest things to do when you're caught in the moment with something. Like, I didn't even think to check in when it first happened,
yeah.
but, you know, we're supposed to be ready in season, so it's like, that's just something like you should always have in the forefront of your mind, is checking in throughout the day. Like, I didn't do that at all yesterday, and that, you know, that, see how my day turned out.
Yeah.
But then, you know, so checking in, but then also, you know, learning from, like you were saying, learning, you know, and growing from the things that you do wrong. That's important too. So yeah, I don't know why I'm necessarily supposed to share that story, but hope it maybe helps some of you.
Yeah.
And we pray for everybody tonight, Father, as they go home, And we just pray your blessings upon everybody, and we pray that your presence would wrap around them and love would wrap around them throughout the week, and that they may be changed tonight as we go forward, that we may all be changed tonight, and that we might continually grow in you each and every day, and carry a little bit more of you each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.